targets on.
I would pay attention. Having too much fun.
Okay, hang on, let me get this started here.
Ready, Joe?
All right.
I'd like to bring the Board of Trustees meeting of Jerusalem Township to order. It's the November 23rd, 2021 meeting. I'd like to call it to order, and I request a moment of silence and then the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, Joe.
Bo Miller.
Present.
Mark Sattler.
Present.
Dave Bench.
Present.
Roll call complete.
I'd like to have the approval of the minutes. I'd like to have a motion to approve the minutes from October the 26th, 2021, regular meeting.
So moved.
I'll second.
Okay, roll call, Dave Bench.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Meeting minutes approved.
Okay, we'll move on to the fiscal officer's report. Joel?
Everybody have a chance to review the financial reports?
Yep.
Star Ohio, $598,348.80. Checking account, $549,276.88. Payments, warrants 19759 through 20220. Electronic payments 138-2021 through 143-2021, totaling $51,208.26. And deposits made since the last meeting, which was October 26, was $29,008.22.
Motion to approve is read.
I can second it.
Okay, roll call, Bo Miller.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Fiscal officer's report approved. I'll give you Tony's report. I don't know if he's coming or not.
Anything else?
I don't.
Thank you.
The rest isn't.
Thank you, Joel. Yep.
My papers.
Oh, you said you wanted to do his, or?
Did you want to go to Julie?
Yeah, you know what?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Go to Julie, I forgot. Yep. Yep, Julie, you're on. No, no, you're on, Julie.
Okay.
Fire chief's not here anyhow.
No, you're fine. Well, we've got your medical mutual renewal for January 2022. Can't believe how fast a year goes by. So there's a copy there for you guys. Whoa. With me there. So it's going up that 4.93%. Nothing is changing on it as far as the deductible. It's still the $5,000 individual, $10,000 family.
Right. We're currently at the largest available deductible, right, to keep
yes.
our costs down.
Yep.
Right.
Yep, the largest one. So,
okay.
The township has on the HRA cards. It pays half of that up front for individuals and family. So, with that first page there, it basically shows you to the right what the current premium is. And then with the new premiums. And I always tell everybody too, just look at the census to make sure those are correct. Sometimes people should be off there or kids should be off, and now's a good time to change that if it needs to be changed. Right now is open enrollment, so if anybody is not on the insurance, got a change there?
Yeah. I thought I had a dependent on mine.
Yeah.
Spouse.
You have a spouse?
Correct.
Yeah. Should have.
Yeah. Yes. You have a spouse on here.
Correct. It's just showing up as zero.
Actually, that's...
Oh, that's only minors?
Yeah, that's children. It says number...
Oh, I'm sorry. There's the age. Yeah, okay.
And then the spouse is, yeah, the age
okay.
beside yours.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Okay. So, but that's why I always tell everybody just
right.
check that just to make sure and everything.
Okay.
So... dental and vision, they all stay the same. There's no changes with that. And this will be effective January 1st. And the second page shows you the age brackets and how they get to those premiums with the ages and everything. And then with the Medicare is prime. on there with the people that are on Medicare. So it's pretty basic. We just need that one form signed for the HRA.
Yeah, a couple of points. As I understand it, the grandmother transitional relief has been extended for another year. That's really going year by year.
Right.
And in examining all of the other options, all of the ACA compliant plans, those would involve very significant increases.
Correct.
This is clearly our lowest cost option.
Right, yep, exactly.
How long is this going to carry on, though, that Godfather?
I don't know.
Year by year.
They told us, like, you know, what, 6-7 years ago, this is the last year.
Yeah, that's what I mean, I've been around that long, yeah.
Yep. We used to say, you know, this is the last year, and now this is what you're going to have to expect for the next year, but still around, so.
They do have us in here as Ottawa County, but we're in Lucas, so.
I know.
I think that was on there last year.
We have tried to change that.
Is it cheaper to speak in Ottawa County?
It might be.
Yeah, it might be cheaper.
That's what I'm thinking. They're just like, oh, okay, yeah.
So we're under 5% increase.
Yes.
Which is very good.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
We haven't had that for quite a while, I think.
Right. Yeah. Yep. So we've had some that came in at 20%, 30%. So, I mean, nobody likes an increase, but when it was like 4.9 on a lot of them, it was like, weren't too bad, you know? So, but.
Okay. Do you need signatures from all three trustees?
On that HRA form? Nope, just one.
Just one?
Yep.
Chairman?
That's basically saying that you're keeping the HRA the same for starting January 1st, 2022. Can't believe we're saying 2022.
Yeah, that's scary.
Yeah.
Want that tonight, or?
Yep. Is that okay?
Yep.
Okay.
Do you have any other questions on anything?
I don't think so. Thank you for everything you've done over the years to try to help us keep our costs
welcome.
Down. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's not as many companies now that you can quote out on the group plans as there used to be, but, you know, we do quote them out, you know, see what's good and what's favorable for it. But, you know, that's, like I said, it's pretty good as far as, you know, where it was and stuff. So, but we'll see what next year brings.
Yeah. All right. Very good.
That'll come quick. Thank you, Julie.
Thank you. You're welcome. You guys all have a nice Thanksgiving.
You too. Yeah.
Thank you, you too.
Bye-bye.
Yep.
Bye, thanks,
thank you.
I want to do 21.
Let you make a motion to accept the plan as provided with the...
I need a motion to accept the medical mutual plan for 2021.
As proposed.
As proposed.
For 2022. So
oh,
moved.
Yeah, it's 2022.
I made a motion.
Mark?
Okay.
I can second that.
Okay, roll call. Dave Bench?
Yes.
Bill Miller?
Yes.
Mark Sattler?
Yes.
Health plan approved.
We'll just skip Tony. He might come in, huh? Okay. We'll move on to the rec department, and I don't believe anyone's here.
Yep, Mike is on.
Oh, he's on.
Mike, can you hear me okay?
Meeting
Mike, can you hear me okay? Nope, hang on.
We need a motion to adjourn the meeting. We need a second. People in the audience can vote, too, maybe.
You're terrible.
Mike?
Yeah?
Okay, all right. We got audio now.
Okay. Hello, everyone. I'll go down my list here and let's get started here. So programming-wise, it's 100% basketball. We're all basketball. Everything is going well with basketball. Wind is being used quite a bit for the little guys, and everything's so far no issues. So very happy to report that. As far as the baseball fields, I mentioned last time I'd get those cleaned up, and I did everything out there. The bases are pulled and plugged. The porta potty is canceled. It's cleaned up, and it's done for the season. So I did get a quote for the fertilizer from True Green. If you remember last year, we switched to Land Art. He did send me a proposal for the upcoming season. I will wait till I get something from Land Art to present that to you guys. So that should be very soon. I just wanted to touch base. If you remember the last time we talked about exploring the possibility of redoing the baseball diamond on the Jerusalem school property. We did not have a quorum the last meeting, so we will discuss that at our next board meeting, but I think that's going to be a slam dunk, but I didn't want to pursue it without keeping my board abreast of everything that's going on, so that's why that's not taken care of. Moving on, I did get the yearly rec bill, and I did email you the cover page. Mark, did you get that?
I did, yeah, I did see that come through. Sorry, I did not print that off.
Okay, that's fine. I did send the bill to Joel.
Okay.
It's, so let's see, if you remember last year, the bill was only $5,000 because COVID pretty much shut everything down. So we didn't get the bill this year. It's $13,800. I'm happy to report we are almost upped our participation all across the board. So that's very, very good news. It's 8 pages long. I went through everything. Some of the increase was, if you remember, we did not increase our football fees. So we are paying for that. And just the overall participation is up. So I'm happy to report that. So I don't think I need a motion to get that paid, but whatever I need to do that, I think that needs to.
Right. Now that comes out of your rec budget,
okay.
Correct, Mike?
Okay. Yep. That's what I understood. Yes.
As long as it's within his budget, he doesn't need approval. Okay. All right. You're good.
Okay. So if Joel can go ahead and take care of that, we'll be good to go. The last thing I have is. I know that you're trying to put together something to post. I will, whatever you need me to do, whatever you need me to, if you want to get that job description posted or out there, whatever you need me to do. I thought I did talk to Bo at some length. I thought we had it all figured out, but whatever else you need from me, I'm here.
Yeah, I think we're still working through that. So yeah, thanks for everything.
Okay. So is there any kind of timeline?
We could probably throw that together there.
By next meeting?
Yeah.
Sure. Probably, we'll think we'll finalize it for the next meeting. That'd be the first meeting in December.
Okay, that's good. I just want to make sure I'm up to speed with everything. So,
Mike,
that sounds good.
I'm sorry, Mike, but we got some information from Oregon too, and added to it too.
Okay.
And I think you should have a check with Joel for like $2,200 for the storage box is gone.
Oh, it got sold then?
Yeah, it's gone.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good too. All right. Did somebody just offer it, or did it get posted?
No, we put it on the sale with Tony's fire department material.
Okay, somebody probably ate that up pretty quick, I would imagine.
I thought that was a pretty good price.
Oh, yeah, me too. I looked at them, and that's right in line. So good. Good deal. All right, other than that, that's all I have. And, yeah, that's good. I'll just wait for everything. No problems.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, thanks.
Okay, we'll go on to zoning inspector's report. Linda?
All right, I have an update. Should be in front of you.
Boy.
Okay, as far as permits go. Permits, we have had only one in November so far, and that's for an accessory building on the Ondota. I've been trying to put some documents together, so we also talked about, reviewing the abatement procedure. So I did a breakdown. If you remember, the last 2 years I've been working on a sheet to work through as far as a checklist that I check off as I work through properties and or abatement issues. So I did a general one there for you on the update. And this is kind of my procedure of what I go through. So there's a concern received, or there's site visits, or there's pictures generated. Typically at this point now, I do a courtesy notice just to inform people that there is an issue and possible non-compliance with the zoning code. After that point, then there's the first violation is an informal violation, and then there's a 14-day compliance period. Then there's, along with that, there is an appeal process in each one of those. In fact, it says that at the bottom of each one, that that it can be appealed, or simply call and let's report your progress on correcting the issue or the violation. I put in there then a site visit with the trustee. Typically, when we do this, we do some kind of site visit, so there's some kind of second eyes on the violation. Then a second informal violation, another 14-day compliance period, and another appeal or report progress. Then that's when the point where I'll come to the trustees and ask you to declare a violation by resolution before we move forward. And then I can send formal orders at that point to the property owner versus via certified mail. And at that point, if I don't hear something back, that's when I send the letter to the prosecutor to start proceedings in court. So very lengthy process that's gone through before we get to the point of any legal action.
So there's a number of opportunities for the property owner to say, oh, wait, I'll fix it. Oh, thanks for letting me know. Or here's the reason. Okay.
Yep.
Good.
Yep.
Part very
of
good.
In each of the step, yeah, there is that.
It's important to give them, I agree, that's important to give them every opportunity to address the issue.
And I usually don't go to the 14-day compliance period only if I don't hear anything. And I might move a little bit quicker in that stage simply because I don't get anything back as far as any kind of contact.
Okay,
and so I also went to the Ohio Township Association and did some researching on and what is the purpose of zoning? And this comes from OTA. Purpose of zoning, and I put purpose of zoning in Jerusalem Township, is to promote health, safety, general welfare of the residents of Jerusalem Township. Zoning serves the general good of the community as a whole, protects property values, and secures the most appropriate use of the land. So I just thought it was good to reiterate that. History of zoning, you know, this is kind of above and beyond, but zoning came around at the turn of the century. Cities across the United States were concerned about threats to public health and safety as heavy industrial sites encroached on residential neighborhoods and business districts. On the West Coast, Los Angeles and San Francisco experimented with separating industry and other nuisances from the residential neighborhoods. In the late 1800s and early 1900s, New York City passed the country's first comprehensive zoning law in 1916 in response to rising building heights that were blocking light and air from reaching the sidewalk. And in the 20s, the United States Commerce Department drafted model zoning legislation for both cities and states. In June, and this is current to us, in June of 1958, Jerusalem Township trustees passed a resolution establishing zoning in the township, and a zoning commission was formed. Zoning plans were approved by electors on November 3rd of 1959. So, and I plan to put all this stuff into a document that just explains zoning a little bit better. Okay, so blight has been our number one concern of township residents, and the zoning inspector is responsible for that enforcement. Not the best or most exciting part of my job. Okay, so getting on to structures, and I made copies for you. So we do have a structure that we're dealing with, the structure at 11056 Bunning, and I made a set of pictures for you all just to document it. Be my guest to go there and take a look. But if you look at the first picture, The house looks great. Doesn't look like anything's happening. There's a rocking chair on the front porch. The porch steps are painted. And yeah, it all looks good. But then you go down and look at the bottom picture. If you really look at the top left-hand corner of that house in that bottom picture on the first page, that's a tree growing out of the house.
That tree is growing out of the house?
Yes.
Oh, my. Does anyone live here?
No.
Okay, so this is abandoned?
They do come and sit on the front porch.
The owners or someone?
The owners.
Really? Okay.
So second page, you can kind of see the tree. It's not a branch hanging over, but it's a tree growing up and through. And if you look at the bottom, that whole foundation of that house at that bottom picture on the second page is gone.
Wide open.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
okay. All right. And then the third page, this is the side of the house right next to the driveway of the majority property owner.
That looks dangerous.
Yeah. Well, all that garbage sitting there. Yeah. And then there is a next page, you have a camper, you have a boat. You have the next page, last page, an S10 truck that's in the weeds, and then a Lincoln, and none of them have moved. He did make a payment on his taxes, I checked today, in July, of $4,000, but they still owe $2,400. I did call him, I did make contact. 2 years ago, he said he was going to put a roof on the house. Obviously not.
It's rained since then, hasn't it?
It's rained many days since then. So, Tony is supposed to issue the document.
So has the fire department inspected the location?
He's done there.
Okay.
But he needs to generate the letter. So, it definitely is insecure, unsafe, structurally defective, and unfit for human habitation.
It's ready to come right down. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is the wording that you need to use.
Right. Okay.
So.
What's the next step here?
Next step would be to, by resolution, declare it unsafe.
We have to have that letter from the fire chief.
I think I'd wait for Tony's letter.
Right. Okay. Okay. So this will go on the agenda for next meeting?
Correct.
Okay.
But why I'm asking at this point is, could we, or you want me to wait, I could go to the point of collecting just bids to actually remove the house. That would be the next step after the resolution and the letter. So I just want to wait.
And this is where we get into the dilemma of...
Who pays for what?
We're going to pay for it. He's already on his owes back taxes. This is not going to be a cheap house to tear down because it's so big. Mm-hmm. So we can put all the taxes we want on the, or all the charges on the tax duplicate. Are we ever going to get it recovered?
Right.
I get this definitely needs to come down. This is a bad one. This one needs to come down. But how do we?
Yeah.
You know, you see what I'm saying? He's already. You know, what'd he pay? $4,700 on his taxes, you said?
$4,100.
He paid $4,100. He's still shy, $2,467.
And the house is going to cost $5,000 to $6,000.
I bet you $6,000 at least.
At least $6,000, I would say. That's a big house. That is a big house to tear down.
A lot of, yeah.
And that's my biggest concern on how do we, you know, we don't have a lot in the zoning fund for, you know, we got... $2,800 in the zoning fund, which we could use some general fund money.
The other thing I could do is I could start, I mean, there are three vehicles there. I could start the removal process of junk vehicles if you'd like me to go to that direction first.
That doesn't cost us anything, right?
That does not cost us anything other than putting it in the paper. We got to put it in paper.
And the owner's already received all of the necessary notices?
Yeah. But now I would put it in the paper, and then we have to put a sign on the vehicle itself.
Any response from the owner about addressing
he
the
says
issues?
Yes.
Yes, what?
He knows it.
Yeah, it needs to be addressed?
But I've been specifically addressing the house.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking if I at least get the vehicles out of there, and we can get, like, the side of the house. You can't get to the side of the house because the car is there. So, I mean, all that junk should get removed from the side of the house. and at least for the person next door, the property owner next door.
It wouldn't cost you anything to put it along the road. Eventually, you know, just the garbage cans, you know, just, yeah, doesn't it, yeah.
Yeah, some of the garbage is in, I mean, it's in garbage cans.
Yeah.
I mean, if we get rid of the cars and get some movement room, maybe we can get the garbage out of there too.
Right.
And at least start cleaning up that direction where it doesn't cost us that much.
Right, the down tree is the...
And then charge them, you know, our hourly fee, possibly. We've got multiple issues going on at this property. Obviously, the house is the worst, but we can do some of those small things.
Shame.
Yeah. Okay.
I guess just do the small things. Can we agree on that?
Well, while we wait for the fire chief's declaration and the
structure. Or you want me to move
structure.
On the vehicles?
Yeah, moving the vehicles and the...
Well, because you've got an access problem until we move the vehicles out.
Right.
Right? We can't get back there to clean anything, clean out the garbage. You in agreement?
Yeah, I mean, like...
Okay, do you need a motion?
Yeah.
Yes?
I would. What's the address for that, too?
11056 Bunny. 11056 Bunny.
Better?
Yeah.
You want the parcel number, too?
No, the okay. Cars, the trucks, the boat. Oh, we only have it
yeah.
For that.
Yeah, car, truck, boat, camper.
Yeah, no, get rid of the boat. Are you?
No.
That's going to have to go to the landfill.
I think we can just work on the two.
Yeah, that's, out of, that's back out of the way. Okay.
I just say the car and the truck. They're two up front.
Okay.
Is that a tractor back there, too?
Yep.
On the second page?
Some kind of back. I think it's a little small backhoe. Maybe tractor, but it has a backhoe attachment on it.
Okay. I move that we proceed with moving the vehicles that are blocking access as we await the declaration from the fire chief on the building.
I can second that.
Roll call. Dave Bench.
Yes.
Bill Miller.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Chuck Peter Coleman. Process approved.
All right, then, as far as blight with vehicles, I do have the McMaster property on Howard Pavilion and Beach Park. I think I'll come up with a list of vehicles for you. I think everybody knows what it looks like. I think at least two of you have been by there, if not all three of you.
I was by there not that long ago. It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
So I'll work up a list. I thought I had enough pictures, but today, as I was going through it, I didn't have the one northern... edge. Okay. Weeds and tall grass. So that's the Yondota property. There is the property where the apple trees are. So his crew couldn't get in there, and then somebody got sick. And so I did send in two violations. He was really good about coming in and telling me that they were getting to it. So he's finally just got it done.
So he did cut it himself.
Somebody else did finally come in.
But we didn't have to.
But it's
okay.
Got right.
Great.
We didn't
Thank
have
you.
To do it. So he's got that done, and a really good interaction with the property owner. And then he's also the one putting up an accessory building. Okay, land bank. There is a web or a Zoom meeting, and I did sign up for it, but this is the email I got. The Lucas County Land Bank announced the launch of the Lucas County Commercial Site Cleanup Pilot Program. They got $2 million. Now that sounds like a lot, but this is Lucas County.
Lucas County.
Right.
And Toledo usually ends up with most of it. So there's an informational Zoom webinar on Tuesday, November 30th at 12. Okay. I do have to be at Oregon Court at 11, so if anybody else wants to join in that, I can give you the Zoom information for it. And hopefully I could just jump on it on my phone and be part of it. I'm hoping that possibly we could get Wolfinger's Wharf, the old Becerra Pizza property on Corduroy. That would be the one that we could get done, because that's an expensive one too, that block building that has no half roof.
And that one's not in our possession, right?
Correct. But he owes quite a bit on that. I haven't looked recently, but I'm pretty sure it's over 11. $5,000.
Okay. Linda, if you wouldn't mind, send me the information. I'll try to join in.
All right.
To back you up.
Okay. Thanks.
I was gonna do it too.
Good. Yeah, it's probably good for a couple of us to.
They sound pretty interesting.
Yeah.
There's a lot of money.
Especially if there's potential of sharing in some of those funds.
Right. And that was a match, right? It was a dollar for dollar.
A lot of options along with it, so.
But still, I mean, if you get $10,000 and, you know, free money.
And we get one building. I mean, if we just ask for one building, then I think we.
Yeah.
I think we deserve that. We didn't get any money out of the last funding they got for taking down houses. All right, so let's go to the improper fence installation. I do have pictures to explain it.
It's your neighbor,
thank you.
So the fence beside the white car, okay, is the fence for the blue house. All right, so when you install a fence, the good side is supposed to be to your neighbor. It's quite obviously not the good side. And it's also supposed to only be 6 foot tall. So at any given point, the posts are above and so is some of the panels, more than 8 foot tall.
More than eight?
Six.
Okay.
Sorry.
Six, okay.
So 6 foot tall. So with this gentleman, I did go in and do a site visit, gave him a red tag. He did not have a fence permit. He came in and got the fence permit, and I reiterated and put on that the good side needs to be facing out.
Was this permit issued before or after the fence was up?
After.
So it was, okay.
So at least he came and got the permit after, but I told him he needed to correct it.
That'd be pretty costly. Wow.
Yeah. So, he was going to put panels on the other side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he could do that.
He could do that.
Yeah.
And then cut them off to 6 foot tall.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he just has to measure an angle it up.
Are we more concerned about the actual posts than the panels? I mean, because I see, like, the driveway goes up, so I can see why the panels go up. But is it the post is what we're worried about more than on the height side of things?
It should look good on.
We're talking.
It does
heights.
Look like they're random heights on those posts because some of them stick a couple feet above top
right.
of the fence.
I mean, okay. If they're stair steps, fine, but they should be under 6 feet.
Yeah.
And the good side should be facing up. So here's one of those instances where this is a code violation. It's not a blight violation. So where do I go with this? This is one of those that I could see the judge saying, okay, we're going to charge you $100 a day until you fix this.
What did the property owner have to say about when you explained the situation?
He said, yeah, okay.
Did he indicate any intention of correcting the problem?
I got that feeling that he was going to correct it, but haven't gotten any response.
Okay. What's the last communication with the property owner? How long ago was that?
Well, I don't know. I have to go look at the file, but I didn't get any response after the second one that I sent, which would have been 3 contacts. And we have several other places where people do things and they don't get a permit. Things are finished incorrectly. So those are hard ones to deal with because what do you do?
Mm-hmm. So my question, and this is a perfect example, I guess, with his, you know, this fence was already up prior to getting the permit. But if you would have issued this guy a permit prior to building this fence, and he went ahead and did it the way he did it. Fences up. We don't do any follow-up. Once you issue a permit here, you don't go out and do a site. Like, if you're going to build a house, you're going to dig the footer,
Specifically Lucas County.
Lucas County's gonna come out and check the footer. You put the stud walls up, Lucas County's gonna come out. Check the stud walls before you put drywall up.
Right.
So, if we issue a permit prior to a fence being put up, we're not doing what I wanna call is preventative maintenance, kind of avoiding things like this, because you're only one person, you only get so many hours a week to work, or a month to work. And I don't know how to, that's something I've been struggling with, is how do we do preventative maintenance for issues like this.
You mean follow-up inspections to make sure they're
right? I mean, she's not a building inspector, but she could, we gotta figure out a way to, because almost to me, like, the permit's like a, you could call it a money grab. It's not really a money grab, because we want a site plan, we want to know where, you know, we can tell them, hey, it's, you can be on the property line, it can't be on the property line, it can only be this tall. But if we...
Well, and the idea behind a permit is that you're supposed to pull a permit before you begin.
Right.
With the permit, you get the
proper
guidelines,
yes,
in terms of what would be in compliance, so that you can construct your whatever it is within appropriate guidelines.
Right. But what if they don't?
Now, if somebody jumps out ahead and does it without a permit, it's brought to their attention that, hey, you need to pull a permit, and here's the guidelines, and you need to bring your prematurely constructed item into compliance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's on the property owner.
Correct. But what if we issue a permit and we don't do any policing of it? Is what I guess where I'm at. This is a good example, because
there has been follow up. You've had multiple contacts.
So it wouldn't matter whether he did it before or after. He did it after.
There's been multiple contacts. We've got a photo.
So even if he would have done the permit and I would have went and looked at it and said, you didn't do it right. So then what do I do? Because what's my procedure? Because we certainly aren't going to send maintenance to cut the fence down and take it down.
Kevin, you don't want to do that?
It's quicker.
Well, I guess if we have sent all the letters, we've documented this, it's been there. I guess the next thing to do would be prepare charges.
But what do you want the judge to do? It's very easy in nuisance abatement. Remove the stuff from your property and clean it up. That's real simple. This is one of those that the judge would like to say, okay, I'll charge the $100 day fee until you correct it. And the judge would still give them a time frame to work.
Yeah, X number of weeks to bring it into compliance, and if you don't within...
After this date,
okay,
then it'll be $100 a day. Because right now, there's nothing to force a person to do it. It just keeps getting written out and then kind of ignored. And dropped.
And if we leave it that way, the next person's going to say, well, why do I need a permit? I'll just put it up the way I want it to. So yeah. Somewhere we got to stop it.
Yeah, I mean, if we tolerate non-compliance, then everybody's going to say, oh, I don't need to comply at all. I can do whatever I want.
Yep.
And that's not very respectful to our neighbors or our residents of our township.
No, and this poor neighbor, he calls me every month.
The neighbor next door?
Yeah, to see where we're at.
He called me.
Oh, did he?
Monday, I think, yeah. Mm. Tom is his name, I think. Is that his name? Soup, is it Tom?
I think so.
Yeah. Nice guy. Very nice guy.
I met him when I went in. We put the catch basin right there by the fence.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. We did. Yeah. And benefited both this property owner and his neighbor.
Yes, it did.
Yeah. Okay. What do you suggest?
What's this guy's name? Tom? Is it Tom Russell?
This is Kurt, right?
Or Kurt. It's Kurt, isn't it?
Kurt.
Yeah.
Kurt. It is Kurt, but I couldn't remember his last
name.
Was.
I don't know his last name. Yeah. Okay.
So one of my solutions to this was to do that reaffirmation of 2403 that's already in our zoning code. And it also is part of the revised code. that states that we can charge them a fine per day. Actually, we are able to charge up to $500 a day per the revised code, and we're only saying $100. And that can only be assessed by the judge, not me or the trustees.
What do you want to do? You want to call him up and talk to him?
I can go over there, see if I can get any headway with him. I mean, if you're asking me to say, let's have the judge charge $100 a day, my answer is no. I've stood pretty firm on that.
I don't think you're going to get anywhere with the fence guy, because I had a lot of issues with him, and I was being a nice guy and really helped him out.
With the water.
Hooked his drainage up and everything, yeah.
Yeah, I was really good, and yeah. Yep.
We have, in the zoning book, it's got the, and on the permit, we've got all the information on it. Height, good side's got to face the neighbor. Correct. That's all in there. So you can give me all that information to go there with it.
The good side is actually it's not in our zoning code, but that's in the regular zoning code. But when they come to get their fence permit, I put that on. The good side faces the neighbor. That's standard procedure in fence. So Lucas County code.
So it's in Lucas County's.
Yep. Code. And ours, it does say 6 feet in ours.
Okay. Yeah, I'll go down and talk to the guy.
Okay. You have his address or contact information for Bill?
No, I'd have to get it.
Okay, so right. Should we table this until next meeting and find out how that discussion goes? Okay.
All right, I do have a court date on November 30th at 11 a.m. And other than that, the comprehensive plan is under final review with the Plan Commission. And that's all I have at this point. Any questions?
Nope.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you,
Lana. Thank you. Kevin, you're up. Maintenance department report.
All right. As you've seen out back, we did go with Dave, picked up the 8 trees for out back by the staff shed. We did, those are all planted at this time. The township rescue plan, that was submitted a little over a week ago, so we're in for that right now.
That's the 250?
Yes, okay. $150,000 for road projects. We came in with the county estimate for everything I turned in to be like $296,000 is what they estimated. So by their estimate, realistically, the project, if it was bid out, is most probably more like $210,000. But with the inflated fuel prices now, that can make a difference too. But that's the price they come up with and what they submitted with the rescue plan information that we give them. So that's in, and the way that it sounds from Alan and I can't think of the girl's name right now, Sarah Rowland, they will not be informed of any awards. It will come to my email notifying us if we're awarded anything, and then we're to forward that back to the county, because there will be some additional paperwork they'll have to do for us. So I'll keep an eye on that, but I don't believe that was just due. I think this week was the final day, I think. So sometime between now and the end of the year, we should hopefully hear something on that. And anticipating, hopefully, we could at least get half of what we were looking for. That would still be a real sizable. Yep.
That sounds like that'd be very helpful in terms of road maintenance.
Yep. So that's, and I do have a copy of it. I did print off a copy of what the county submitted for us. and I have that in the office. Next thing I got is, and I didn't get to talk to Joel, did you pay the county for our salt, that bill we just got? Our bill for road salt just came in a week ago.
Saw it for signature tonight, yes.
So that was what we agreed on back during the summer. Didn't get the full amount I wanted. They actually cut the option down on how much we could get. But what we got reserved with them right now, just it alone is more than what we need for a decent sized winter, so we'll be good on that. I just gotta, once it's paid for, they can't haul anything out here until it's paid for. So before they start putting all their V-boxes in, I gotta work with the foreman and try to start getting some of it out here. I won't take all of it up front because we're most probably 150 to 180 ton in the salt shed now. So that's more than enough to carry us through a winter. But I'm gonna get as much as I can until we come up to the door, then I'm gonna quit on it.
And
because with the new EPA stuff, I don't want anything out right past the doorway or we could be in violation.
So you can, so whatever you don't take delivery of, you can keep there with Lucas County and then take later when you have room. Okay.
Yep, and get it a later date. And for us to haul it, it isn't cost effective. If I can't get the county to haul it, we'd have to hire somebody along the line like Blasey or somebody that's got a semi where the per ton cost works out a lot better. So, but right now, we've got a handshake agreement. They'll haul it out for us, so, and I trust that, so. So I will be pursuing that after Thanksgiving here, see what we can get. Since our last meeting that I was to, we've sold like 8 graves. Presently now, we're down to about 25 graves left in the cemetery. I would like a motion to reclose the cemetery for grave sales to anybody that does not live in the township until we get the new expansion going. And we're most probably, with everything we got to do, we're looking at maybe 23 before we can get started with selling anything in that section. Unless everything works out in the spring and we get good grass up and we get everything laid out, I just don't see it before 23 before we could use that. So basically what I'm asking for is we don't sell any graves to non-residents from this point on.
So
until we get the new section.
Can we define the time limitation? Are you asking for a 1 year pause on any sales to non-residents?
1 year would be fine. If it comes in earlier than that, then I'll come back to you to reopen it.
Okay.
And what I'll do is I'll notify the 3 funeral homes that we normally deal with that are telling people to come out here if they don't have graves, that we've closed it to everybody but residents of the township, just due to the amount of graves we have left. And by the Ohio Revised Code, we got to supply it for our people, but we're very limited on what we can supply to our people because right now I don't think I'd put more than 2 graves side by side to sell them, and there ain't many of those. So we're pretty limited at this point.
Joel, do you need a motion?
Yeah.
Okay, I move that we initiate a 1 year pause on the sale of grave sites to non-residents of Jerusalem Township.
I can second that.
Can you say a date, like January 1, 2020?
Let's make that for calendar 2020, well, from now until 12/31/2022.
Seconded by Bo Miller?
Yep.
Roll call, Dave Bench.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Motion passed.
Okay, and I don't know. I think I've told all of you about the leak in the pond. I've been in contact with Phillips about fixing that. Was promised a week ago they were going to be there. They still have not come yet to address the issue. The pond is actually down at least 12 feet, if not farther down in water. We know where it's coming from. That's two drain pipes that run directly into the ditch. We watch the blue water run right out of them. I'm gonna try to address with them again tomorrow and see where I go and try to put a push on them to get out here. We're not losing anything at this point because we've already lost it, but to get that issue addressed.
Will they be handling that repair at their expense?
Yes, that's not a problem.
Okay.
We're supposed to cap all that stuff.
Yeah, they're supposed to fix it.
Okay.
So.
Will you, the lost water, will you have to wait till spring to refill?
Depending on how cold it gets, we can do like we did last year and we just have to pump it back in from the ditch again. Mm-hmm. The only thing that may hold us up is if the ditch is that far down, we may not be able to reach the water and we
right.
need to be able to get it in.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and that's everything I have, unless you guys have something for me.
Anybody?
No, nothing that I have.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.
We'll move on then. We did the cemetery, I guess. Great. So Holland Reynolds.
We got a wake tomorrow, Kevin. You knew about that one.
Yep.
And then there's a rental Saturday. It's one of the firemen, though.
That's the other thing. I do have a funeral tomorrow that he's got the wake for.
So they will be using the hall.
That's it then?
Yep.
Okay, roads and bridges. I called Mike Stormer about the teach out the gate, and he said that I heard the same thing. They're gonna put it out for bids in February. So,
okay.
I said I'd catch work a little faster because the water's really down right now.
Yeah, this would be a really good time.
It'd be a really good time right now. And I asked him about the Alliston Road, and he said they're working on that. And asking about Rachel and East, and they did a thing on that. They said, "Well, I thought you were going to do this and that." So
that's still really flooded over there.
They're going to survey it, tell me the footage, tell me the size of pipe, and then we can get a contractor to bid that maybe, and then they're going to have to do the catch basin and everything too. So that's where that stands. Just reminding everybody, the Corduroy Road Bridge goes out in 2024, and State Route 2 will be shut down, and I think it's February this year, so. Could be a lot of bridges out.
But at least they're not going to be at the same time.
They're pushing the Corduroy Bridge out to 2024.
Yeah.
But they can't do both.
That thing ain't going to last that long.
Okay. We'll move on to old business then. We did Julie, American Rescue Plan.
Okay. Joel, did you want to talk about the ARP request?
So we all saw that draft memo that I sent on last month that for you guys to use. I wanted to mark as graciously blessed my inbox with these filled out already. So that means you probably are accepting that format, and all that is just a collection of potential projects to consider using that funding. And then those get compiled into a centralized location so that at some future point the board reviews and approves them and or seeks out legal advice if there's a question if that is or is not ARP used, ARP funds. So Kevin, for the road side, Bo for the hall side, Tony, he has it now for the fire department side. If at some point in the future we have plenty of time to spend this money, can collect all these and then review them, decide if we need to seek out an opinion on them.
Right. So if I understand, we have 3 years to decide and then 5 years to fully expend the monies. Yeah. And what's your estimated total?
Oh, good question. It's like two something.
Is it close to 300K?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I don't have those numbers.
Okay, that's all right. Because you've got half right now, right? You've got half in place on the financial report. That's the first half.
164,092.54, so.
Okay, so that's first half, okay.
Yep, so, couldn't really find the date of that second payment in any of the literature. I'm not really too worried about that.
Okay.
Other than whatever we do, we just talk about it, approve it, make the right decision, so it'll come back.
So we need to take some period of time to accumulate all of these requests. Mm-hmm. And then go through a process where you have a third party, maybe an attorney, review and issue a recommendation that yes, I agree with this or okay.
Yeah. Some of them could be controversial, and other ones are pretty black and white. Like you submitted one for lost revenue from hall rental.
Correct.
On behalf of Bo, so we'll thank him later. Which is fine. There's actually a calculation Excel spreadsheet where you plug all that junk in and it spits out a number, which is a recommended process that the federal government said you can use. It's really exciting stuff.
Good.
But that's easy. Well, it's not easy, you have to do it, but it's easy that there's an aid for that. But then something else would not be. Like, I don't know.
Flooring?
We replace the carpet because it's actually all pretty cruddy in there, right?
Yeah, and it's an infection control issue.
Just using an example, that may need an opinion on it.
Right.
Right? I don't know.
Right.
Potentially. That's all I have on that. Anybody have any questions on, I know, Kevin, you probably don't even know what that is that I sent to them.
So, yeah, let me bring...
Oh, okay.
Let me bring one more topic up. The first item that reads, to respond to the public health emergency or its negative economic impacts, including assistance to households, small businesses, and nonprofits, or aid to impacted industries such as tourism, travel, and hospitality. Question. Given that our township is so tightly tied to tourism, fishing, birding, all of those things with a big park out here. And there's, the question is, can we address some of our blight issues with some of this money to make the township more attractive and more welcoming to our tourism industry and encourage the businesses in the township that depend on the tourism industry?
That's a good attorney question.
Okay.
Only because that's a complicated answer.
Yeah.
It's not a simple one. Like with that CARES Act money, it was real simple. We bought a UV light, put it in the room, and it cleaned it. It's pretty easy to understand the purchase.
Right. Okay. All right. So that'll be one of those on the list to ask about. Okay. Very good.
Is there like a certain cutoff of when you'd like to have a maybe like the first section of these done?
January 31st. After the new year, after we look at what we're going to spend in next year.
So you want to get through appropriations first before you take this on.
So we could get everybody get what we can the first go around. We'll put it in, submit it. We can talk about it.
We got plenty of time.
Yeah.
The CARES Act money had that really crappy...
We had very short one.
October 31st. I mean, we were trying to figure out what... This is the opposite.
But I could just see this dragging on if we don't have a definitive date of, like, let's take our first wave of things, go through them.
Yeah.
If we've got questions, we can ask questions to the lawyer. And then we can start over again and say, all right, maybe in June of 2022, we come back with another blast of them and just kind of chunk away at it. So,
because you guys all know this, you see the money's already flowing from other agencies, right? I mean, it's crazy how the money's already being spit out there with infrastructure improvements.
Right,
it's
right.
That's
in fact,
Evans Road money probably came from that the states has.
Right.
So some of it's being used right away, but they have their legal department putting that together, right?
In fact, Lucas County has invited two broadband companies that are not present in our township to go after the broadband incentive grant coming out of these monies, in order to then expand the internet broadband access to the areas in our township that are currently not served. So we could see more competition for broadband out here. That would be great.
But the bullet point number four, isn't it on that?
Yes, necessary investments in water, sewer, and broadband infrastructure.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
That it then?
I think so.
Okay, we'll move on to the township comprehensive plan update.
I don't think we have any update other than what Linda already alluded to, which mm-hmm. is that that is currently in front of the Lucas County Planning Commission and will eventually get in front of the county commissioners.
Commissioners.
And that'll happen sometime in early to mid-December, I believe.
Sounds good. Okay, we'll move on to the Republic Trash contract.
Okay. Joel, you've got that.
Turn that down to the man of the hour, the trash man. It's your email.
It's Mark.
You know it's from Bo.
All right. No, I sent it to you. Yeah. All right. So this is the revised contract with mm-hmm. Lucas County Solid Waste, the agreement we go into with them. And basically there were, I don't know, we didn't highlight the changes, but there were changes in here about, I think with dates, with some of it, we had to change some dates of when they were gonna start, the fuel surcharge.
Right, and that only kicks in if the gas price goes above $4 a gallon. That right. seems reasonable.
Yeah.
We thought we better leave it in there.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is pretty much the standard boilerplate form that we've right. used before with Lucas County.
I think this is planned to kick in the 1st of December.
Correct, and I did talk to Scott last week because I've been getting calls regarding people wanting they know they're going to get the one can, wanting to purchase the second can, you know, so mm-hmm. they can start, like, get that garbage going. They won't, and they're like, well, you got to talk to the Jerusalem Township. They have to approve it. So I call Scott, and he's like, if you can get them to hold off until we get all the cans rolled out.
Yeah, get the first can out. And
he goes, then we're going to have, he goes, we'll have educational information that's going to go out to the residents, and that will show that that'll give them the opportunity of, this is who you have to contact. This is how we're going to get you the extra can.
So when are we going to start now?
They're supposed to be doing the can distribution.
He said he definitely would have them by mid-December. He's going to try for the 1st of December, but he said probably the second week of December is what he's thinking.
They have to get all this information out, too.
Right.
Yeah, we're supposed to get a chance to review the draft brochure to see if there's anything else we want to add mm-hmm. as trustees. And that I expect that to come any day.
Right.
Okay. I will make a note to call them.
So then we'll be lucky to get started by the 15th or something then.
Yeah, it's going to be, they're trying to get logistics, get the cans here, get them lined, you know, dumped off.
Something that's happened in the past and it hasn't been just with Republic, is there any way that we can have Republic so they can talk to the citizen? What we get is new people that move into the township want to call to make sure their garbage can be picked up, and they tell them, no, you have to contact Jerusalem Township, then they have to talk to us. I don't really think it matters. If it's in Jerusalem Township and that can's sitting in front of a house, they should pick it up. But a new resident that may not have the can, when they move in, maybe the old resident takes it with them, so they can talk directly to them. Instead of us having to make a phone call to Republic, then call them back to call Republic. And
hopefully in the educational information they give us, we'll have the number that we can just refer the residents to say, hey, here's who you got to call. Or a lot of times I get a lot of calls on people that are just moving in, you know, a lot of renters, and they're like, you know, what do we, I'm going to just set your garbage up by the road. They'll pick it up. So they're pretty good about that.
We actually, all that information is currently on our website, our township website, and along with the number for them to call Republic. We, as Bo indicated, we still get a lot of people that leave a message here on the machine and end up calling them back and directing them to the website, and they can call themselves and they can look up whether they're a Thursday or a Friday pickup. So
well, in the last couple months, so I've had several of them where they've called Republic, and Republic told them that they needed to talk to the township.
That, yeah, that that's okay. That is that's an artifact. When Republic asks, you know, what your address is, our technical address for most residents is Curtis, but if folks say Jerusalem Township, there's actually Jerusalem, Ohio. And their contract is different, and I think that the call center gets confused and gives them the wrong information. I've gone around with Scott a half a dozen times on the wrong information that's being given out by the call center. So if you get wind of that, pass it along so that we can get that in front of Scott. You know, preferably whatever information we can get him. You know, who it was that was given the bad information, and Scott will help follow up with them.
Okay. So all we have to do is sign this, because we've already approved this at the last meeting. So the signature page, correct. I signed mine. Okay. And then, Joel, you'll send that off to her. We got to mail that back to her so she can get the other signatures from.
Anything else on garbage?
Nothing else on garbage. Moving ahead.
Okay, we'll go on to COVID update. Mark?
I have the Lucas County is no longer having the weekly COVID updates, so I have no new information, but following what we're hearing, there are still infections that are spiking out there. Okay.
Okay, we'll move on then to the 2020 CARES Act audit.
I have not heard anything.
You haven't heard anything?
So that's not good or bad.
Zoning enforcement, do we want to do anything with that tonight, or just?
I don't think there's anything. Is there anything else we need to address right now? Okay.
I'll pass it by. I just put in the road maintenance, the trees are planted. Kevin did an excellent job. Ethics in Ohio, November 16th, 2021. Did anybody get on there? I did mine earlier, a couple months ago, a month ago.
Yeah, I was not able to get in on
nobody
that.
Nobody else
one.
Did?
Waiting there for the first year.
And please send me your certificates after you.
Okay. The rec director's job description, we have that there now. So
we've got a couple to work from.
Yeah, so that'll give us something to work on.
And fine tune it for next meeting and be ready to rock and roll.
Right, yeah. Agreed.
I don't think we get too much more. The Oregon's was excellent.
That's good to have another one to compare.
Yeah, they did a really good job.
What about compensation? Are we able to get any comparative compensation?
We can't do that till, if we wanted to, we couldn't even do it till the executive meeting there.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we should talk about that, I suppose, too.
But what I meant was, were you able to get the information from Oregon on how theirs works?
Well, it's so big, and he does so much more and everything.
That it's not comparable?
Yeah, probably the best way to do it, if we could get his hours down. And Mike's, I got some information he was giving me that maybe we could figure his hours out a little bit and go from there.
Okay, great.
Otama Risk Management Review Report, I didn't quite get it all done. It's we have to fill out a lot more papers, and I'll get that on next time.
Okay.
Lucas County 911 Regional Report. See if I can find it. Here it is. It's always quite an interesting meeting. It's the people that are there, the atmosphere and everything. But Andy Glenn's working on trying to get
different funding for it. And they're really working hard on the cell phone tax. And Michigan has one. And we're trying to get Derek Marin and Senator Gavron, I think it is, because mm-hmm. They're the head of it down there. And if we can get them to get that cell phone tax in there to help pay for this 911. And they might put a property tax on, but if they do get the 911, they could take it off. Because it's probably going to take a while to get the cell phone on there because they have to go through the legislature to get all this done. So that could, mm-hmm. that could take a year or so. But hopefully that would happen. And I was going to ask, would you know, is this the new emergency number, that 255-8443?
I just call 911.
Well, that's...
Just kidding.
That's the non-emergency.
I don't know what the non-emergency
is. I was hoping that Tony would be here so we could ask him. And the operations, they need 135 people to run that. And they've got 114 right now. But they got 15 online. So they are short.
Starting pay on that's $26 an hour.
$26 an hour? Hmm. Well, I don't know if I could do that though. But and it doesn't matter. They had a big conflict there. Let's see. Beasley was going instead of Safarian, and people were complaining about that. And Burrell was there and says doesn't matter. Anybody can go. Like, it doesn't have to be the president here. It just as long as there's somebody representing the organization, I guess. Yeah, Burrell was kind of wishy-washy, as usual. Mm-hmm. But Andy Glenn is really working on that, trying to get that cell phone deal in there.
Good, good. That'll be helpful.
Because we'll never get rid of 911. It's there. Mm-hmm. We're stuck with it, you know. Even if we don't like it, it's tough. So that's all I got on that.
Okay.
Oh, did you go on that ARPA, that webinar, November 2nd? Any of yous? I didn't, I...
Which one is that?
No, it was an ARPA webinar, November 2nd.
I don't.
Oh, you didn't see it even? Okay. No. I November 2nd, I was tied up in the hospital, so...
Okay.
Okay. I got audit report. Joel, do you want to say anything about the audit, or...?
Did we all review the Period Associates?
Yeah, I had a chance to review that, and Joel was very helpful in answering my couple of questions. So I'm comfortable with it.
I called him up today too and checked out a few things.
We have to sign the management letter and get sent back to the audit company. Then this auditor of state finalizes the audit, which they already looked at, and then we have an obligation to put in the paper. You can go online to view the audit findings after they get approved.
You have the paper to sign? Or?
Yeah, we don't have to. There's no motions to be made. It's actually only one trustee has to sign this.
So you probably want the chair to sign?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Very good.
Just some big takeaways. One of them surprised me. It matters if we talk about it or not. Our zoning fund is going to be in the general fund again and not separate.
Yeah, we can't have that little...
Can't be a special revenue, which is okay.
That is what it is.
But state, the funny thing was, the state, you called down the state, and they approved it.
Right. It has to do with the year-end financial reports, our Hinkle notes that we submit. It's a big pain in the butt. But that's not a big deal. We just have to designate accounts within the fund for that purpose. The intention was right, just not allowed according to them. And I'm not, it's minor stuff.
Yeah.
Minor stuff. Some mistakes made in 19 and 20, but it was like you deposited a road and bridge receipt in this account in the road and bridge fund, and it needed to be into this account in the road and bridge fund. But it was in the fund, and it was, you know.
So it's simply a reclassification. Okay.
Exactly.
Not a big deal.
Not a big deal. Just common, some mistakes like that.
Okay. Good.
Thank you, Joe. Mm-hmm. Any more old business?
I have none.
Okay, well, we'll move on to new business then. Recognize the Reno Beach Howard Farms Conservancy District active status. I can attest to that. I went with Elvis on a a little ride along the dikes, and they've really did a lot here in the last couple months. It really looks nice, and they're working at stuff. So, it's great.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty big deal that our Conservancy Board, they've been successful in working with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, and in a fairly short period of time have restored
couple months
us to active status. So kudos. I just like us to go on record to express our appreciation and our congratulations to the Reno Beach Howard Farms Conservancy District for all of their efforts and getting off of the inactive status and back on the active status. It's a designation, but if something happens, that's a pretty significant difference in designation. Yeah. If something happens in our township, we're going to help. We're going to get help from the Corps of Engineers a lot faster.
And it had been close to 20 years since we were.
I don't know how long. At least 10, somewhere between 10 and 20 years that we've been on the inactive list. So.
And most people down there didn't realize that we weren't on.
You know, I don't think they had any idea.
No, nobody knew it. Yeah.
Right.
And they got a lot of work to do yet, but
they do.
They have made that major. That's something they haven't done.
Big step.
Yes.
That's huge. Yeah.
Okay, we'll move on to the Temecog Water Quality Council report.
Okay. All right, thank you. Yeah, so I attended the Temecog Water Quality Council report on November 8th. Matt Kennedy gave an update on the area-wide water quality management 208 plan. That's part of the 1972 Clean Water Act. The purpose of that act is to control nutrient discharge and pollution from point and non-point sources. One thing he mentioned is the Curtis-Williston region is still in the planning process to address the unsewered areas. Secondly, there is a proposed survey by the health department to identify the various failed leach fields. So any of the homes in our township that have leach fields, they're doing sampling and testing to identify where those fields have failed, and then there will be a requested remediation for those properties, so they don't contribute to the pollution issue. The Ohio EPA is going to be completing a thorough water quality modeling analysis for Cedar and Crane Creeks. The estimated timeline for both Cedar and Crane Creeks is about 2 years. The price tag for the capital improvements relating to that is about $20 million. That's pretty significant, but the Ohio EPA is leading that. So that was the update from the November 8th Water Quality Council meeting. The next thing relating to Water Quality Council is that each year there's a number of these Temecog committees that they request a representative from each jurisdiction. And for 2021, I have served as the primary, and I believe Dave, you've been the alternate. So we need to appoint. I'm willing to serve as the primary again for 2022, although unless somebody else would like to, would prefer.
You do such a good job.
That's fine. I'm happy to serve. Dave, do you want to continue as the alternate?
Yeah, if you can't make it, I can make it.
Okay, very good. All right, so then I'll go ahead and we'll go ahead and get that submitted. Okay, that's the
Water Quality
Council appointment.
Got it all in?
Yep.
Okay, we'll move on then to the Temecog Agricultural Committee report. I hadn't been there for probably several months, but we approved minutes and we approved the meeting schedule, and put out the committee leaders, and basically we're trying to work on something that would like a big meeting to have farmers and people in the area and have a big meeting to talk about agriculture and the area we're in and what we can do to make things better, I guess, and stuff like that. It's pretty, they're going to talk about it more in February in our next meeting, but figure that out. But let's see, that was the third I went there for to Temecog. And that's about all. It wasn't a whole lot. I guess I can kind of rattle off here some of the people that go there. It's the Ottawa County SCS, the Wood County, Lucas County, Sandusky County, and Monroe Conservation, Ottawa County. There's some farmers, Wood County farmers, Michigan Farm Bureau goes, and Farmers Union, Monroe County Community College goes there, and there's some Sandusky County farmers, and of course I. But so it's kind of a farm group, I guess you'd say, oriented. That's why I got picked, I guess.
So, well, you know that topic. That's great.
Okay, we got the Agricultural Committee off. Temecog Water, Stormwater Coalition, 22 appointment primary. Oh, we got that. We did
so,
that.
So, well, we actually, we don't have.
Water quality. Well, we got the water quality, but that's the stormwater.
Stormwater. I guess I would, I'd like to recommend Bo for the Stormwater Coalition appointment for 2022, if you're willing.
I guess.
Okay.
Yep, right. He's got to go to one, too.
Okay. All right. Anybody? And then an alternate.
Joel.
It'll be either.
No. It'll be either Dave or me.
Well, I can be alternate. It doesn't bother me. You go to quite a bit of stuff, too.
Okay. All right. So I'll go ahead and submit that for Bo as the primary and Dave as the alternate. Okay. Very good.
Okie doke. Then we got to move to the approval to transfer the liquor license from Maumee Bay General Store to S&G.
Yes. I have a request here from Ohio Division of Liquor Control. S&G is asking that the Joe Kiss DBA Maumee Bay General Store liquor license be transferred to S&G. They need our approval. And so are there any objections to the transfer of that?
There's never been any problems there. I didn't see anything, so I can't see any problem.
So I think we want to mark that we do not request a hearing. And then we need a signature. Do you want to sign as chairman?
Okay, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
But.
Okay. And then I can scan that, send that back in. Great, thank you.
Annual organizational meeting date. Are we going to do it on a different date? Or
I was going to recommend that we do it on the last meeting of December, which would be December 28th. It's our regular Tuesday night. It's usually a long meeting because there's a lot to cover. It usually runs 3 hours, but we could, if we did it, we
start
don't have
early.
To do a special meeting, or don't we don't have to do an extra meeting? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, why don't we just start earlier?
You want to start at 6?
Yeah, at least. Yeah.
Can you just not have the regular meeting?
Well, it would be instead of.
Yeah. Nobody's going to sit through. Well, they can't sit through if they want to. But
yeah, we wouldn't. Yeah, I'm assuming we would simply table the financial report and all that. And we'd simply go into the organizational meeting.
Yeah, it seems to work out to have it done before the end of the year.
Yeah.
Versus right afterwards.
Yeah, okay. That's what you always did it before too. Yeah.
Okay,
before.
So we'll do that 6 o'clock.
Make it 6 o'clock at least. Earlier, Bo, or whatever you think.
Yeah, I mean, I could be here by 5:30. I mean, if you want to do it earlier, 5 is getting pretty close because I get off at 4:30 and 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock.
Okay. All right. Very good. Do we need to put out a notice that we're going to begin at 6?
It's a public meeting, so.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
We'll put it on the sign, and we'll go to put it in Jackson down to S&G then.
Very good. We'll do. I'll put it out there on the township's Facebook page as well.
I'll make sure it gets out at Jackson and S&G then. How's that?
Excellent.
And maybe one out here. I'll do 3 of them.
Good.
Mark, you made that agenda up in the past, right?
Yeah, actually, I've been working on it, so I'll shoot it to you.
Okay. Well, I should send everybody so we can
Right.
We need to add or subtract.
Because we just took last year's, and then all year long, as things came up, we've been adding to it, and I've talked with Kevin already and about any changes for fees and Linda, so
it didn't seem like nothing was broken from the last time we did it.
Yeah, it seems to work well. Okay, very good.
The only other thing I got, the general assembly change of date. I'm sure they mentioned this at my last meeting, that somebody finally figured it out that it wasn't going to work.
Same day. Columbus and Perrysburg, okay.
The general assembly meeting is the 28th.
TMACOG. It's Friday the 28th, but that's the Townships. Third day of the OTA meeting in Columbus.
Yeah, and they complained they didn't have anybody there last time, and I said, well, you know, you put it right on the OTA meeting, what do you think? Duh. Okay, anybody else got anything for the new business?
I got one. Joel, you're going to have to walk me through this one a little bit. So we received the money from Ducks Unlimited, the $21,000 from Ducks Unlimited for the wetlands. And we received the bill, the portion that ODNR is going to pay, that we have to submit to Ohio Shared Services so we can get the contractor paid. So we have to
increase our appropriations.
Does it have to, do you have a fund you got to use it in, Joel?
2192.
So let me make sure I understand. We're not going to be, the township isn't going to be spending any more or less money. It's just, we've got funds coming in from one source, and it has to run through the township and go back out to pay for it.
Correct.
So we have to increase both sides of that transaction.
Even correct.
It's not going to cost us anything.
Yeah. Right. It's not going to cost us a dime.
Our 2021 appropriation for the recreation fund was $50,170. So you have to increase the recreation fund appropriation to whatever it needs to be.
Well, I think we should go to $50,000. That will you know go a little higher, that way we have it, but
okay.
So we'll increase that. I move to increase the 2192 fund by $50,000 to pay the pass through for the park, which we've already received. We actually got a check. It's in our
it's in the fund.
Mm-hmm. We received that from Ducks Unlimited, and then Joel has the one to send to Ohio Shared Services, where he just submits that, and then they cut the...
Because Ohio Shared Services is paying a portion, the township is paying the other portion to the contractor.
From Ducks Unlimited.
It's just passing through to us.
We had to be the recipient of the money, half of the $21,000 of it.
Right.
And we received that end of last month.
Because we're the landowners, so they had to, it had to come to us. And then because they couldn't write to the contractor.
I will second Bo's motion.
Okay, roll call, Dave Bench.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Appropriation increase.
Is that it for new?
That's all I got.
That's all I got.
Okay, we'll move on to public participation. Each person addressing the board shall give his or her name and will be allotted 5 minutes. Please use the podium for your comments so they can be properly recorded by our fiscal officer. Who's first? Sandy?
Sandy.
I don't know. What's her last name?
Oh, it's ingrained in my head.
It's on her shirt.
It's on her shirt.
Sandra Nissen, Beeler Road. I'd like to speak again on the Wilhelm and Niles ditch petitions. There's no reason for you as trustees to have petitioned the county for this. It's a job that you could have bid out and taken care of with the taxes, the stormwater taxes from the township. That way you would still be in control. in petitioning the county to do this job, you're giving up control of the ditches and their cleaning to the county, and will then be at their mercy to maintain the property. So I'm asking again for you to make a motion to withdraw the petition for Wilhelm and Miles Ditches.
Thank you for your comment, but as we explained previously, that option's not open to us.
The option is open for you to do it if you want to. I know the county has told you that they will not accept it. But if you make the motion and ask to withdraw the petition, they have to address it. If you don't, then I have no recourse with them. That's why I continue to ask.
I guess we appreciate your comments.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
I have a couple other things that are very brief. You have an agenda for the meeting. Is that available to the public before the meeting? And when is that available?
I don't usually get it done till maybe...
it's usually here at 6:45.
Yeah, it's here, but I mean, I don't have it ready maybe till... Oh, I usually send it off to you guys Monday night, don't I, or something. I do.
Or sometimes Tuesday.
Tuesday morning.
Tuesday morning, yeah.
Is there any way you could have that done prior to the meeting so that the residents of the township could see what's going to be on the agenda? Maybe post it on the website prior to the meeting? Or
that kind of take a lot at times. I mean, because just like, for example, sometimes I forget, so Dave will email me, hey, you got anything for the agenda? If I'm not at my computer, you know, if he sends that Monday night, Tuesday I might think what I got, shoot it over to him, say, hey, this is what I need you to add to the agenda for me, depending on where he's at, so, you know.
Well, you could set a deadline for yourselves, and you know the meetings
well,
are.
Sandy,
you know when the meetings are, but it's up to you, just
Sandy,
a suggestion.
Actually, that would probably require preparing the agenda a full week before the meeting, because we don't maintain our own website. We contract that out. The webmaster requires 2 to 3 days to post a request, to respond to our request. Sometimes faster, but sometimes it's a good 3 days. So in order to, you know, I'm assuming you want people to have it a couple days before.
Well, just maybe a day before.
That would probably require us to completely change the process and have the agenda completed by a full week prior to the meeting in order to get that out there. And then you're at risk of fresh items never making it on.
Yeah, because there's things that happen Monday that I still put on, you know, just
right.
Last minute, you know.
The last meeting that was canceled, did you ever make that up?
We did not.
No.
Okay.
We did not have a quorum, so we could not, and we did not do a makeup.
Also, I wanted to ask about the organizational meeting. You're not having the regular meeting that night?
Correct. That's what was discussed.
Well, so won't be paying any bills or anything like that?
We'll be devoting that time to the organizational meeting.
So when will you be doing the regular business of the township, such as paying bills and?
I'm gonna suggest that if there is business that must be addressed, that I think we'll take care of that at that meeting.
Kevin
but,
wants to get paid. I guess she's looking out for Kevin's best interest.
But
well, actually, Kevin's wife's best interest.
but we wouldn't. Normally, the second meeting of the month is a lighter meeting anyway. Mm-hmm. And.
But I think you have to have the regular meeting to do the regular business, and the organizational meeting is only for the organizational meeting, is what I'm trying to say.
So I think what, I think, I understand what you're saying. I think that if there's business that must be addressed, it would be addressed in an abbreviated fashion in order to...
So you are going to have a meeting? The regular meeting?
Oh, we are going to have a meeting. We're going to start earlier at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, the agenda is just the agenda for the meeting includes and or is the organizational meeting.
Right. The bulk of the meeting time will be devoted to the organizational meeting, setting the guidelines for 2022. You're welcome to attend and that if you wish.
She's bringing pizza.
It's a long meeting. We're going to need food.
What is it? What is the organizational meeting?
It is the most fun you can have in 3 hours.
Right.
I'm going to tell you that right
I'm
now.
I'm already bored in an hour and a half.
We basically established the guidelines for the upcoming year.
Tell her, hey, no, Mark, if you would like, go to our meeting minutes, and it's the first meeting minutes and audio on the website.
It's about 14 pages.
So go to our, where all the meeting minutes are kept online.
Right. What's the date I'm looking for?
Well, say organizational.
Well, last year, I don't know if, did we do it in January or did we do it in
December?
End of December.
Okay, but it's also said as organizational.
Okay, yeah. Just look over and see what it is.
Yep.
Okay,
sure.
Thanks, Joel.
And the meeting minutes are on there and what we discuss.
Okay, thanks, Joel.
Anyone else? Jim? I thought he was going to get up the one time.
Yes, you're going to.
Nope, no one has anything.
Mark, you get the honors tonight.
I move for adjournment.
I can second that.
Roll call, Mark Settler.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Meeting adjourned.
Okay. Thank you.